outside, because there ain't enough room to swing a rat in here.
Mile opened the door, stooping in the low doorway. Looking over his shoulder, they could all agree. The shack had room enough for one table with a large radio receiver on it and a chair, currently occupied by a fat-sec man who looked up bleary-eyed when Mile entered.
This my change of shift? Feels like I've been in this bastard oven forever.
And it's gonna seem that way some more, Todd. It ain't time yet. Harv's still out on patrol. But hang in there, boy. Won't be long.
Mile turned to the companions.
See, it gets so hot and boring in here that the poor boys damn near go mad with heat and nothing to do. But they know their shit, and that's all that matters. Todd, these here people are new sect that the Baron has brought in. So y'all tell them about these.
He gestured to a rack that hung behind the bleary-eyed sec man.
Okay, if that's what you want. Y'all familiar with old tech like this? Not that I'm being funny with y'all, but you'd be surprised. Some of the people out there, when I'm on patrol, look like they seen weird muty shit when they hear a voice come out of this, you know?
He tapped a handset that he had taken from the rack. Todd went on to explain in great detail how the radio worked and how to pump the batteries, and it soon became apparent why he was one of the few who were detailed to the radio shack, for despite the drone of his monotone voice, he couldn't help but enthuse over the way the old tech worked. To the companions, who had encountered much more in their travels, it was a case of waiting for him to cut to the chase. However, it soon became apparent that this salvaged tech was used by the sec patrols to keep in touch with one another and with their base camp while they were out, and report any trouble that may arise.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to work, does it, Doc?
Of course not, young Dean. I assume you are thinking, as I am, that if the saboteurs have a set as well, they can track their opposing numbers with ease.
Todd finished his lecture and handed out handsets to the companions, pedantically making sure that they knew how to use them. When he had finished and Mile had dispatched him back to his post, closing the shack door, McVee allowed himself a chuckle.
You'll have to excuse the boy, but I reckon all that heat does something to the brain. But what the hell? It ain't your brains that are going to get shaken up now. Am I right, Mile?
Last thing, boy. Last thing.
It took a few days for the companions to break and completely master the horses Mile assigned to them. None of the friends had done so much horseback riding in such a short space of time in their lives, and the rough riding combined with the ability of some of the beasts to throw them to the ground meant that the companions had more than a few contusions and cuts. Most of all, they had aching muscles in places that hadn't been tested in such a manner before. The most common complaint was a stretching of the muscles in the small of the back. Christy and Jack were able to counter this with massage techniques that differed slightly but had a similar result, and had been learned in their own bills. However, Jack's ministrations seemed to make JB's pain increase instead of decrease.
You sure you're doing that right?
Easy strain muscle while hunting. This help you get out again quick.
Christy's technique was subtler. Learned in harmony, it involved a manipulation of the sore muscle with the balls of her thumbs, softly at first in circles, but digging ever harder and ever deeper until it became like a burning needle into the flesh. Her victim, Ryan, bit hard into his lip as the pain reached a pitch that he hadn't known for a long time.
Hurts whatever way it goes. So don't think I'm getting off lightly.
It was Doc and Dean, however, who were the greatest cause for concern. Doc had been thrown four times, and his body was prematurely aged by his experiences, which had given him some physical aspects of a more elderly man. He had landed heavily on his back, and Mildred was worried that he might have damaged his spine.
Trouble is, osteopathy was never my strong point, especially among geriatrics.
She probed along his backbone with her finger and thumb, manipulating the flesh and muscle to feel for the vertebrae.
Despite that, and despite your insistence on calling me geriatric, I still find myself, perhaps to my utter amazement, trusting your judgment. Ooh. Even though it quite literally pains me.
Mildred finished her examination, and Doc rolled over onto his back before sitting up.
I take it from your apparent relief that you found nothing seriously amiss?
Unfortunately, no. I think you might just outlast us all, you old buzzard. Although I'm concerned that if there's a hairline fracture to one of the vertebrae, I can't find it just by feel, and it would make you extremely vulnerable to another fall.
I appreciate what you are saying, but it does occur to me that the same could be true of any of us. After all, we've all taken at least one tumble, not to mention what we've been through before this.
So what you're saying is stop worrying about you, right? As if I could be bothered about an old fool like you.
Madam, I would expect nothing less.
This just left Dean. Mildred had found some steroid and antihistamine cream in the medical supplies she had looted from the redoubt, and there was also a steroid solution in one of the sealed hypodermics that she had secreted in her coat. The injection had calmed the boy's raging immune system, and the cream, sparingly used, had soothed the itching hives that had erupted on his skin. But there was only one other steroid injection, and even though the cream was being used sparingly, there was only the one tube, so Mildred was a little concerned about what would happen if the cream ran out, and the effects of a possible second injection subsided before they had completed their mission. Dean was complaining as Mildred checked his skin.
I don't understand it. I've ridden horses before, and we're always out in the wild among shit like this, but I've never had anything like this happen before.
Well, for a start, we hardly ever get close enough to get bitten. Animal fleas need to jump on, bite, then jump the hell off. And we aren't stupid enough to get close to most of the muty critters we come across for the fleas to make that jump. And as for riding horses before, I'd guess that the problem lies in the fact that the animals and insects across this pest-hole land are all mutated in different ways. Those horses aren't like any we've ever seen before, so maybe the fleas aren't either. I guess you just lucked out, Dean.
Great. So what do I do if the cream doesn't last and we don't nail these saboteurs first?
Mildred stayed silent for a second.
Not much any of us can do. Christie's looked for the right plants to make you something, but we haven't had much luck. So I guess we've got to hope that the luck comes in nailing the bastards who are causing the trouble.
She exchanged a glance with Dean. It wasn't a satisfactory answer, but it was the only one. It was just one more factor to be added to their race against time. 4 days into their stay at the set camp, Mile arrived. The companions had completed their riding training under the watchful eye of McVee, and had found that the sec man was, despite his apparent amusement at their mishaps, keen to assist and teach. He watched them all carefully, and after treating them as the butt of numerous jokes, had given insights into their riding techniques that helped them master the animals quicker. They saw less of Mile, as the sec chief was called away to marshal his meager forces in the camp and workplace. There hadn't been any more instances of sabotage, but the Vill groups were at one another's throats constantly, each accusing the other of wanting to destroy the project. And Baron Silas was getting restless. Each day, Mile had to go to the sweatbox radio shack and talk to the Baron about the progress of the new sec force. Ryan always asked him on his return what the Baron's view was, and the sec chief had confided that the Baron was less than pleased.
Hell, I think you're doing good, because I know just how awkward those bastard creatures are to master. And a fresh face and more of them is going to help no end when we get out there. But the Baron wants results yesterday, and there doesn't seem to be anything I can tell him to make him see otherwise.
Yeah, if he'd sent us out straight away, it would have been impossible to control those beasts, and the workers would have branded us as easy. But there haven't been any more attempts to stop progress on the project?
Mile shook his head.
It comes and goes in waves. Right now, I'd say that whoever's doing it is either lying low to see just what you're like, or they're too busy fighting other battles in the camp.
The sec man took a long drink from a canteen and offered it to Ryan, who took it and found his throat assailed by a raw vegetable distilled spirit. He had been expecting water, and it was all he could do to stop from choking at the bite of the bitter alcohol. Mile noted Ryan's surprise.
It's the only way we've been getting through this. Helps you sleep, that's for sure.
As long as it doesn't stop you from being triple red when you're out there.
Mile grinned.
Hell, I sometimes think that'd be better. You know, if I died tonight, I think hell would be like this. Stuck in the middle of nowhere with a whole bunch of misfits who want to blast the fuck out of each other, and no idea who's really doing shit to who.
Sounds like everyday life to me, not just here.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why it stinks worse than those bastard horses.
Mile took back the canteen and drank some more of the spirit before rising to leave.
I'll bid you good night, my friend. Oh, one more thing.
Yeah?
Crow arrives tomorrow.
What's he been sent here for?
To get you out there. Baron Silas is a hard man, and he demands payment for everything he does. It's your time to pay, I guess.
We're ready.
I hope so.
With that, Mile left the one-eyed man alone with his thoughts. The next morning, Ryan rose to find the giant Native American breakfasting with the Sec Force in the mess tent.
So we meet again. Under more pleasant circumstances this time, however.
Doc seated himself beside Crow and Ryan.
That rather depends on what...